Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He has stood the test of time. Hallelujah. I'm praising the Lord tonight, and I'm thankful for His grace and mercy in our lives, and no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, He has stood the test of time. Hallelujah. Amen. What a beautiful song, what a beautiful testimony, and I'm praising the Lord for His help, His strength in my life. And it's wonderful to see God working and moving in the hearts of others. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for His help tonight. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to look tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. I have been privileged to go with your pastor to Velma's this morning. And I'll tell you what, he has a good ministry at Velma's. It's important. He's reaching into the community. I mean to tell you, people came in, he was waving, he was saying hi, and I'm pretty sure he knew everybody in that restaurant that came in. And that's so neat, that's awesome. And he's doing a fantastic job with that ministry, and I hope he keeps that one up. And then we went to a burger joint that I'm forgetting the name of. Bomax. Say it again.
Bomax.
And I'm telling you what, I'm not joking. We sat there outside, and he kept doing this. Saying howdy, hi, and I mean to tell you, he just about knows everybody that was driving down that road, and that's pretty cool. You want a pastor like that, I'll tell you that right now. You want a pastor who the community knows, and I believe he's doing a fantastic job. This month is Pastor Appreciation, and I do hope you appreciate your pastor, and I mean that. And he paid me a lot of money to tell you that, but I do mean it tonight. He didn't. And he's doing a fantastic job, and I'm so impressed with what God is doing here. And I don't know much, but, you know, you can learn from someone like that, and I hope to do so. 1 Peter chapter 1, I forgot to tell you, I saw the 10th wonder of the world today. That's what he said. It was the 10th wonder of the world. The problem is I couldn't see it from the road, so he said, get out. So I got out. And I followed him down this treacherous, steep, windy, curvy trail. And there at the bottom was the 10th wonder of the world. A rock balancing on another rock. Pretty neat. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin our reading with verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. If I didn't pronounce those countries correctly, or whatever they are, you can come up here and try it yourself. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I like this verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, we ask that you would be with us tonight. Help us in your name. Amen. If you did a quick study of the very first chapter and really the book of 1 Peter, you would find that Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, was writing to a unique group of people. This is the first of two books that Peter wrote here in the New Testament, and we want to establish some sort of context. We're jumping right into the middle of this book. And Peter was telling them that they had an incorruptible inheritance and that Christ had provided them this inheritance. Peter is writing to people who had experienced suffering. He is writing to people who had been scattered throughout the countryside. And we read those countries in verse number one. This group of people had a really difficult time. They had been scattered. Some had been going through difficult journeys. But the theme of Peter is that through the suffering that you are going through, it will one day be transformed to glory. So this evening, we're going to look at the first part of this chapter to see how Christ has provided us with an incorruptible inheritance that will never, ever fade. This inheritance gives us, first, a future hope. Second, it gives us a present, active, day-to-day hope. You can just stake your claim on it. And third, this inheritance gives us a joy that will last forever. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we receive salvation. Amen? But we also receive an inheritance from God. A man died a long time ago who was extremely wealthy. His will, his fortune, was filled with valuable pieces of artwork. This man had a son whom he loved very, very much. This son, unfortunately, had passed on a long, long time before this man had died. And this son of his, he loved very much. And this son was a painter. He wasn't a good painter, but he tried. And this wealthy individual had died. He had no family. He had nobody to give his fortune to. And so he wrote in his will that when he died, there was to be a public auction. People came from all over the world to buy these valuable pieces of artwork. This was an exciting time for many people. There were advertisements sent out. People were notified that this auction was going to be one of a kind. He had such a valuable collection that people came from all over the world to see what this auction would have, and maybe if they were lucky enough, they might could buy just one piece of artwork. The floor opened for bids that afternoon when the auction began, and I forgot to tell you what they were bidding on. They were bidding on a terrible piece of artwork. I mean to tell you, the people in the room that came from all over the world to see what was going on, they were bidding on, I mean to tell you, the worst looking piece of artwork you have seen. It was despicable. But what the people didn't know is that that very first piece of artwork that was shown to the public there to bid was a portrait drawn by the deceased son. Told you a moment ago, he really wasn't a good painter at all. But in the will of the master, he said, and he gave very specific instructions, that that painting was to go for sale first in the auction. And so that's what they did. The floor opened for bids, and there wasn't a single bid for that piece of artwork. Not one single bid. I'm telling you, people were getting kind of frustrated. They wanted to see the main part of the event. They wanted to see what in the world was going on. They couldn't understand. They knew there was valuable pieces of artwork just behind the curtain. And then it's this terrible painting. No bids. Finally, an older gentleman from the back of the room shuffled his way forward, kind of shamefully and meagerly, he whispered to the auctioneer, "Hey, I'll give you a dollar for it, and we'll move on." The auctioneer, he had a smile on his face. He had the gavel in his hand, and he said, "Sold!" And now everybody's excited. Everybody just cannot wait for the main part of the auction to begin. And wouldn't you know it, that auctioneer said, "Sold! Auction over!" He just closed the auction. That old man who meagerly walked up front had just bought that trashy little painting, and now, not only did he buy it, but the auctioneer said it was over. Now you can understand the people are upset. They are just about to come unglued. They are not happy. They had come from all over to come to this auction. The auctioneer had to explain what in the world was going on. The auctioneer said the master had decided well in advance that whoever bought the portrait drawn by the deceased son not only could have that portrait, but he could have the entire art collection. The entire art collection was just given to this man who only gave a measly couple of dollars for a trashy little painting. And he became a wealthy individual. That's a wild story, isn't it? True, maybe, I don't know. But it's a crazy one. But as I ran across that story, as I read that story, I could not help but think about our Heavenly Father, who gives His children benefits beyond anything we deserve as Christians. You see, our Master decided well in advance that whoever loved His Son enough and accepted His Son could not only have Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their lives, but they could have the inheritance that our Heavenly Father provides His children. That's the hope of heaven. And as Christians, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It never fades. Our Heavenly Father gives His children an inheritance beyond what our minds can comprehend. Hallelujah. He does that, friends, for you. He does that for me. And that servant who bought that painting didn't give much. But oh, the inheritance that he gained. And ladies and gentlemen, on this Thursday evening, we as Christians, we didn't give much for our salvation. But oh, the inheritance that Christ gives us. We don't deserve it, but out of His abundant love and mercy and grace, He allows us to partake in the wonderful inheritance of Jesus Christ. The incorruptible inheritance of Christ, the hope of heaven, is something that we can have a future hope of. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3 says, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, on this Thursday evening, the inheritance that Christ has provided you is a future hope. I think of the words to the song we like to sing. It says, when my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. And His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. By His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. By the print of the nails in His hands. Friends, the reality of this truth is evident. We have a future hope. verse goes on and says, because of this mercy that he has enabled us to be born again, and then that gives us a living hope, or a lively hope, this translation says. I'm thankful for the living hope of Jesus Christ. The future is bright because of this living hope. Christ has arisen from the dead. He's seated on the throne tonight. He's interceding on our behalf. And that provides us with a future living hope. Amen. But not only do we have this future hope, not only can we look in the future somewhere, we're going to die at some point. It's a fact. And we can look to that and we can praise the Lord for what he's going to do. We're anticipating our inheritance, the hope of heaven. That is a future hope. But I'm also thankful for a daily active present hope, something that helps us on our day-to-day lives. And, you know, in our passage of Scripture, it helps us understand that. Look at verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, this is verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Friends, listen tonight. If you stay faithful to Jesus, if you stay faithful to what he has outlined in his word, you will have your spot in line for heaven. You are kept by the power of God through faith, Peter tells us. This should give you a daily act of hope. You know why? Because that word kept here in our passage of Scripture in verse number 5 is a military word. And that word means guarded and shielded. That should encourage you. Because our Heavenly Father is constantly guarding and shielding we as Christians. That should give you a present, active, day-to-day hope. And so if we can hold on a little bit longer, if we can trust Him, if we can follow Him, and we keep our eyes toward heaven, He is right there beside us, guarding us and shielding us. Hallelujah. That gives us a daily, active, present hope. We're not kept by our own power, but by the power of God. That's through grace, by the way. And friends, the only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. Some tonight may be going through very difficult times. Some may be going through financial difficulties. Some may be struggling physically. Some may be praying for a lost soul. Some may be carrying an unspeakable burden. But whatever you are facing tonight, whatever challenge you are facing tonight, whatever hardship you are going through tonight, there is hope for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ has an incorruptible inheritance waiting for you. That's right now, that's in the future, and we can trust Him and we can rest in that. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hope is powerful. Hope is powerful. I know this is a youth emphasis week, and I struggled at times to figure out what in the world we're to preach. But I want to tell our young people tonight, in a world that is changing, in a world that on social media, there's one person that will be one way one day, and the next day he'll be another day. As a Christian, we know what's true. We know it's not going to change. We know who Jesus Christ is, and we know that he's coming again one day, and that should bring you hope. And in a world that is full of chaos, in a world that is filled with all sorts of filthiness and trash, we can rest assured that there is hope. There is hope. Hallelujah. There's hope. Amen. There's hope. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope has on those undergoing hardship. And so, as brilliant researchers, you know how they can be, they got two sets of laboratory rats, and they decided to test. This is how they did it. They got two tubs of water, one tub here. This is, I don't know exactly how they did it, but they probably didn't do it at a pulpit, but we have what we have. They had two tubs of water, one here, one here. They had these rats. Now, don't you dare feel sorry for rats. They're nasty little creatures that need to be taken care of. This tub of water had a set of rats in them. They dropped them in, and they just wanted to see how long it would take before they would die. You know what? They lasted an hour. They lasted an hour, those nasty little things. Too bad for them. This set over here, they dropped these rats in. Same water, same dimension of tubs, same number of rats, okay? The only difference. Now, these are researchers. They may be fibbing, but this is what they tell me. All they did was lift that little varmint of a rat. I wouldn't even want to do that. But they did. I would have tongs. They lifted that rat out and dropped him back in. They gave them no rest. They gave them no food. They just, same amount of time, same amount of water. I mean to tell you, these rats died within an hour. These rats, they just pulled them up, dropped them back. No rest. I mean, seconds, milliseconds. Just boom. Guess how long these rats lasted? 24 hours. 24 hours. I thought about that. I am no smart human being. I'll tell you that. I misspelled bus yesterday or 2 days ago. You ask, how do you misspell bus? You add an extra S. I started thinking about that story. I started thinking about hope. And I thought in my little mind, if rats can somehow recognize that there's hope, surely sophisticated human beings who create all sorts of things can somehow grasp the effect of hope in their life. Friends, there may be some here tonight. I don't know what you're going through. You may be going through really dark valleys. You may be going through serious difficulties. And it feels like you've been abandoned. It feels like you have no place to go. You feel like your world is crashing in on you. But friends, there is hope. Verse 6 tells us that though we may go through trials on this earth, they are only for a time, because verse 7 says, we have the hope of Christ's return. Hallelujah. Are we longing for His return? Are we anticipating the hope of heaven? Christ has provided an inheritance for us. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a future hope, but we have a present, active, day-to-day hope, and that hope helps us along life's journey. Jesus Christ, if you're walking with Him, is guarding us and He's shielding us. He's helping us along our journey, and you can make it. There is hope. Hallelujah. Lastly tonight, because the inheritance provides us with this future hope, because this inheritance gives us a present, active, day-to-day hope, we read in verse number 8, whom, having not seen, talking about Jesus, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, that's important, you got to believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Third century man was anticipating death. He must have been a pessimist because he said this. He penned these last words, it's a bad world. an incredibly bad world. Thanks for letting us know. But then he said, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and a holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy that is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. And these people are despised. They are persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their own souls. They have overcome the world. And these people are Christians. And I am one of them. You see, Christians have a joy that many know nothing of. Many people in our world today are trying to find satisfaction in worldly pleasures, in worldly pursuits. They're seeking happiness in all the wrong direction. But ladies and gentlemen, on this Thursday evening, the only real, true, genuine joy that you will ever find is in Jesus Christ. The joy that Christ produces in our hearts and in our lives, Peter says, is unspeakable and full of glory. The joy is so deep and wonderful that we can't even express it. Words are inadequate. The inheritance that we have when Christ provides us a future hope and a present active day-to-day hope, it provides us with joy. And that joy is unspeakable and full of glory. That reminds me of another song. Verse number 2 of Joy Unspeakable, the song we like to sing, says, I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a glorious blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. Verse 3 says, I like this one. I have found that hope. Amen. So bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near. I can see his smiling face. Then the chorus rings out when it says, for it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Tonight, God wants us to know that there is an incorruptible inheritance waiting for you if you're a Christian tonight. This inheritance provides you with a future hope. It provides you with a daily reality that he's walking with you and he's guarding you and he's shielding you. And then, because of that reality tonight, Peter talks about this. We can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so tonight, as we go our separate ways, I want us to remember that there's hope. They're going to come. We're going to see joy. We're going to sing joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as we do, I want you to testify, not in being pessimistic like that one gentleman, but we need to be glorious about who we're singing to, because there is hope. There's hope. There's a future hope. There's a present hope. He's right there beside you. He's helping you. He's guarding you. He's shielding you. And then that should produce joy in your heart. And when we go out to the highways and byways of this world, people will say, man, so-and-so, he's had a rough life maybe, but man, he has joy. Or maybe, oh, so-and-so, man, he's just a nice guy. I've never seen anything wrong with him. Nothing bad's happened to him, but man, he's just joyful all the time. I like that. Or maybe you've gone through something so terrible, everybody knows about it, it's awful, but there's just a quiet, peaceful presence. You can give a little smile here and there, and someone's recognizing, how in the world is that happening? Well, you know why? It's because Jesus Christ has changed your life, and Jesus Christ has given you a reason to live, because there is hope. Hallelujah. Let's sing it tonight.
Let's stand tonight, 423, sing the second and third verse.
I I have found the pleasure I want, great, it is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful path of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hap has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. In His joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hap has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how it weighs up glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hap has never yet been told.
Praise God. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to go out and tell somebody about it. You can tell somebody about it. It may be difficult to tell them. It's so good and so wonderful. Thank God for that lively hope that we have. That's one of my favorite phrases in Peter. Lively hope, a living hope. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Brother Loper, for that reminder tonight that we can be excited about this journey that we are on because of that living hope that He provides us, that inheritance that fadeth not away. Praise God. Glory to God tonight. Praise His name. So good to be in God's house tonight. So glad that you've been able to join us in this service tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you ready to go home? Or is your heart just full and bubbling? You want to stick around a little longer? Wow. Thinking about the glorious hope that we have, the living hope that we have, the inheritance that He provides us, surely does something to the heart. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Brother Terry Thomas, would you dismiss us in prayer?